I really just felt under siege, personally. Like, it just with various events and things that were happening in my life, I just started to feel very depressed and down. And Pastor Bob gave me a good book to read. It's called A Fearless by Max Lucado. And in that chapter, there is a section where he talks about when Jesus calms the storm. And it was really a great chapter. I love it when section we're going to read, it's probably like 5 or 6 verses, but I love it when someone can take just 5 or 6 verses and pull all of these teachings and points out of it that you just don't realize when you read through something. I tend to read things through things very fast, and I think sometimes I miss things like that. So it's just wonderful. I really like that whenever someone can do that. So when I was asked to speak a couple weeks ago, I didn't have to think too long about what I wanted to speak on. So what we're going to talk about is go through the section when Jesus calmed the storm. We're going to talk about how the disciples reacted to that. We're going to talk about what they learned and what we can learn from that when we deal with storms in our own life. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer before we start and get going. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for everyone who has come out tonight. Lord, I just thank you for the praise of music we just had. And Lord, now I just ask you to open our hearts and minds to hear your word. And just to hear the message you have for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Oops, and I forgot the clicker here. All right. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 35. If you do not have your Bible, please grab a pew Bible. We're going to be going through looking up a lot of scriptures. I like to look up Bible verses. And probably the hardest part about preparing my talk was trying to figure out which verses to include and which ones to exclude. So let's set the stage real quick, though. Before we do this, Jesus is at the beginning of his ministry, and he's already had kind of a long day. He's had a confrontation with the Pharisees already, who accused him of having an evil spirit. His mother and his brothers have come and tried to take him away because they didn't really understand his earthly ministry yet. They're starting to think maybe he's a little off base here. And he's spent a large portion of the day teaching to large crowds. He's been performing various miracles, healing the sick, and now he's started to teach by the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds are starting to push in on him. So he's had just a very long day, and he's tired. So, and that's where it kind of it picks up here. So let's start in verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was at the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." As we go through this, we kind of need to think about that. We're kind of also like the disciples. We're on a journey. We're on a journey to heaven with our Lord. But various storms are going to come up on our journey that are going to shake our vessel and make us fearful. And one of the reasons I think the Lord provided this account for us in the Bible is to kind of teach us how to deal with that. If this account is also told in Matthew, and when Matthew describes this, he uses the word seismos to describe the storm. Now, a seismologist today is someone who studies earthquakes. So it means a quake, trembling, and eruption of sea and sky. This was not just an ordinary thunderstorm or even a severe thunderstorm that happened. This was a major, major event. Matthew only uses this word 2 other times to describe something. He uses it when Jesus defeats sin on the death, defeated sin on the cross when he died at Calvary and the earth shook. He also uses this to describe it when the graveyard shook at Jesus' resurrection. So those are 2 major, major miraculous events that are described the same way as this. So it was a big storm. Just a little note about the Sea of Galilee, just kind of set the stage where we are, and I want to use the laser pointer too. So right here, Capernaum is kind of the area where they are right now. If you're looking, like, Jerusalem would be like way down here, if you're kind of wondering where we are with Israel. The Sea of Galilee itself is not very big. It's about 13 miles long and 7 miles wide. Not real big. It's like 150 feet deep, I think I read. But there are mountains all along here. And the other interesting fact is the Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level, which makes it very susceptible to sudden storms. What happens is the winds come over the mountains and create big downdrafts, which causes huge 20-foot waves to come up. So this is, it can be a nasty and a kind of a dangerous situation. That's kind of like some of the storms in our life. You know, sometimes we can see trouble coming ahead, but very often we don't realize it's there until all of a sudden the storm's here. You know, we get caught off guard by these. Just like the disciples, we don't see something coming. There are also different types of storms in our life when we think about it. There's storms of suffering. Perhaps you have a sickness. You're having health problems. You know, storms in life don't discriminate because of age either. You all, when you were younger, you can think of various things that bother you. Maybe there was a bully at school. You know, as you got older, went through your teenage years, there's numerous types of storms that hit you. Maybe as you're older now, there's something at your jaw. There's also storms of sorrow. A lot of times you see this when there's like the death of a loved one, and people just cannot get out of that grieving process. For some people, it takes years for them to get out of that or even to get over it. And sometimes there's storms of sin in our lives. You know, perhaps there's just that one temptation or addiction that just gives you so many problems. You try and try to resist and plead with the Lord for forgiveness, but for whatever reason, you have trouble handling that type of storm. And a lot of times, too, when we become Christians, the unexpected thing is we think, well, you know, it's just going to be lollipops and rainbows now. I'm not going to face any storms. I've accepted Jesus, and he comes with me. He's going to guide me and protect me. Well, that's true, but like we said, we're still going to have storms. In fact, because we're Christians, we're going to have more storms. And I put these up. I was going to make us rip through and look up all these, but I'll give you a break on the page turning. In John, Jesus tells us himself, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus himself is telling us, look, you've accepted me, but in this world problems are going to come. But he does give us some encouragement. He's overcome the world. He's not going to leave us alone. Paul gives us two messages. In Timothy, he says, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You know, not a great advertisement just by itself, but it is the truth. It is the truth. Because we are believers, we are going to face some persecution. In his passage in 2 Corinthians, I want to put that up, you know, Paul's describing all of the suffering he endures. You know, it's kind of funny. This morning during the worship service, I started to get extremely nervous about speaking here, like abnormally nervous about it. And it was right before our morning prayer. And as we were praying, I was praying, Lord, please take this nervousness away. I don't know why I'm so nervous. And this passage kind of come up to me, you know. I look at everything that Paul endured, and here I'm getting nervous about speaking to a group of believers who make a special effort to come out worship God tonight. I thought, okay, well, I was not as nervous then when I realized how ridiculous that sounded when it came to me like that. And Peter also gives us a message. Dear friends, do not be surprised that the fiery ordeal has just come on you to test you as if something very strange were happening to you. It's completely normal that we have storms in our life. Not something to worry about. There's different things that can cause storms in our life. Sometimes storms are our own fault. Many examples in the Bible, Jonah is one that comes to mind. You know, if he had just done as God asked and gone to Nineveh, he would have saved himself a lot of trouble. Instead, he fled the opposite way, and he ended up spending 3 days in the belly of a smelly fish. It says in Galatians, we reap what we sow, and that's absolutely true. Sometimes we cause our own storms. Sometimes God sends storms. And when he does this, a lot of times it's just to discipline us or draw us closer. And that kind of makes sense. You know, we see it whenever there's something horrendous happen in our own country here. If there's an act of terrorism or a disaster, what happens? all of a sudden our church sanctuaries fill up for a little bit. We're so much more inclined to draw closer to God when something bad is happening. And people say, oh, why is this bad thing happening? Well, you know what? Sometimes it's happening because God wants us to draw closer to Him. David was a good example in the Old Testament about this. You know, he sinned with Bathsheba, and God sent the prophet Nathan to discipline him and to tell him, you know, because of this, you know, your son is going to die. Your family is, murder is going to be a constant threat in your family. Your whole family is going to rebel against you. And that ended up what happening to David. And sometimes Satan is allowed to send a storm. Now, 1 Peter, it says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You know, that's absolutely true. You know, Satan would like nothing more than to see us fail. And quite honestly, this could be a whole topic of itself. Maybe sometime we'll have a whole lesson on the topic of this. It's very interesting. But know this, that his power is very limited by the sovereign will of God. But he does have some leeway to cause us problems. So, getting back to our presentation. How did the disciples react? So let's take a look. First off, if we look at verse 38, they doubted his goodness. They said, don't you care if we drown? We do that too. When a storm comes in our life, we say to ourselves, Lord, why have you left me out here? Why are you doing this to me? Why don't you love me? You know, and nothing could be further from the truth. This is a great verse to memorize and to meditate on if you're looking for a study. Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Again, this is one of those verses sometimes you tend to read real quick, but when you stop, you don't recognize the beauty of it. We talked about this a couple weeks ago in Sunday school. It is key that we don't have, the high priest is Jesus. He's not unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He came down in the flesh and experienced all that we've experienced, all our emotions. He was tempted just like we've been tempted. So when we're crying out to him, asking for forgiveness, don't think that we, you know, he's just up on a mighty throne saying, how dare you do that? How could they fail at this? He perfectly understands what we're going through. That's why God is always ready there to listen to your prayers. He absolutely understands when we fail and why we fail. The disciples also doubted his grace. They said, you bring us out here just to let us drown. Another great passage from Hebrews 13:5. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Tonight, if you remember one verse, I want you to remember that one. Because it's easy and it is absolutely true. No matter what situation you're in, what is happening to you, God has promised to never leave us and never forsake us under any circumstance. And that is absolutely key. In 2 Corinthians, Paul said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This verse is a great one, too, because it shows a trial helps us understand how weak we are and how strong God is. It helps us to realize that we really need the Lord in the times when we face storms and just in life in general. It helps us emphasize, you know, sometimes when things are going good, we tend to start to drift away a little. Maybe we let our Bible study slip. Or, you know, we start to build up a little bit of pride and we start thinking, you know what, I can kind of do that on my own. A lot of these trials kind of bring us back and help us understand that we need to be in constant fellowship with the Lord. They also doubted his guarantee. They said, let us go. Jesus said, when they started out, let us go over to the other side. They doubted that he was going to stick with it and let him get there. You know, don't have any doubts in your life that God is going to get us to the final place, which is constant fellowship with him in heaven. Have no doubt about that. Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. No matter what kind of storm you're facing, know that God is there with you, and in His will, things will work out. It's one of those things that's easy kind of sometimes to say when you're not going through a storm. We all know when you're in the grips and the depth of the storm, that can sound callous or just rather, you know, oh, just saying that. Meditate on that when you're not going through a storm, and that will really help you when you are getting through that. So what did the disciples learn? They made discoveries about His power. You know, this was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. In the passages I cite there in Matthew, that's where Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." You know, the disciples so far, they've seen Jesus heal the sick and perform other miracles. This took it up a notch. They've actually seen Him control the natural elements of the world. They made discoveries about His promises. And I tell you what, this one, let's go and let's actually read this one. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And keep a bookmark in Mark there. And we will read verses 17 to 18. But God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. In just verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. God cannot change. That's one of the beautiful things about our Lord. You know, what He promises, He carries through. What He says will be done. God is not fickle like we are. He's not fickle like people. He is constant. His love for us is constant. And He will, when He promises all things are going to work out to those that love Him, He absolutely means it. The disciples also made discoveries about His peace. You know, it's key in this passage that during the storm, Jesus is asleep. Okay, well, why did He pick then to go and take a nap? Yeah. He was absolutely confident in the Father's will for Him. He knew that eventually He was going to die on the cross. He knew that God had a plan for Him. All right. We need to keep that in mind also. No matter what happens and what you're going through, it may seem unfair. Know that God has a plan for you. And He will take peace in that. Know that God absolutely sees where you're going and has a plan for you to get there. We may not like it that the storm comes, but take the opportunity to draw closer to Him and in His peace. That's a passage in Psalm 121. We won't read the whole psalm, but that is a wonderful passage to read when you are having problems. It talks about how God uplifts us. You know, it speaks how God will carry us through these storms. It's a great passage. I'm not one for poetry and all that, but this is a great psalm, one of my favorite psalms. And again, mentioned before, they made discoveries about the person of Jesus. They started to really understand Jesus, His awesome power, and they were beginning just to understand He was the Messiah sent for us. They understood He could actually control the seas. So how, in fact, does Jesus help us deal with storms? Well, first off is through faith. If we go back to Mark and look at verse 40, we have one of the key elements here. He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" What Jesus is saying here is fear is indicative of a lack of faith. Remember the verse I told you before, Hebrews 13:5. "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." When we have fear, look and see, or if you've been doubting anything at all, when you have fear, remember, and that's why I keep saying, repeat that verse over and over, know that God is never going to forsake you. Another great verse to look up would be Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Again, God is never changing. What he promises, he will follow through on. Through his word. This is another passage I want us to read. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And I know we're jumping all around, but I like to read a lot from the Bible because it really, I can't say it any better than what Jesus says to us here. And we're going to start chapter 7. We're going to read, start at verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. Now the rock, we need to have a strong foundation when storms are blowing in. How do we get a strong foundation? We get in our Bible and we read God's message to us. This is God's love letter to us. You know, I'm going through here, I've been quoting a lot of scriptures. When you're going through a storm, if you've been studying your Bible, it's amazing the scriptures that will pop into your mind to comfort you. In your life, surround yourself with people who study the scriptures and who look to God for help. If you don't go to church here, make sure you attend a church where they encourage you to dive in the Bible and look and keep constantly looking up verses. Build up that hard foundation in your life. If we continue on there, it says, everyone who hears the words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built this house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You know, in the middle of a storm, it's hard to build up your foundation if you don't already have it there. It's very difficult once your house is built to lift it up and fill it in. Get yourself into good habits of reading the scripture and being prepared for when the storms are going to hit. As we've seen, God has promised that we are going to end up with storms. Another great, if you're looking to study too, read Matthew chapter 6. It also goes through and it encourages us a lot to teach us about prayer. We need to pray to be heard by God. And it's funny, a lot of people that are just so uncomfortable with prayer, somehow we get in our heads, we think our prayer isn't worthy if it's not fancy or it doesn't, you know, have real elaborate language, you know. God wants nothing more than to have a relationship with you, and praying is absolutely the way that that occurs. If you're so down and desperate and you don't know what to do, pray the Lord's Prayer. God taught us the perfect way to pray. Quite honestly, sometimes I do that. Sometimes I just have no idea where to begin or where to end. Things are so bad. And I'll just pray the Lord's Prayer. Because I know that's how Christ taught us to pray. And he wants us to be in that constant communication with him. Through his sacrifice. Oh, real quick, before we do that, I want to look up one other scripture. Let's go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Like I said, I had a hard time keeping finding which ones to get, but this is really an important one also. Yeah, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, I wasn't just making that up. Prayer works. And it's one of the things God commands us to do. The other way Jesus helps us through this is by his sacrifice. You know, because he went to the cross and bled and died for us, our sins are covered, and we're going to live forever with him in heaven. Someday we're going to stand before God. And because we've accepted him and our names are written in the book of life, Jesus' blood is going to cover us, and we're going to go on, and we're not going to face storms ever anymore. Our journey's going to be at the end, and we're not going to have these problems anymore. But there are going to be people that they're going to face a storm like they've never seen when God casts them into the lake of fire. I can't emphasize that enough, that, you know, No matter what's happening in this life, know that we have God's promise that in the end, we're never going to go through storms again. You know, we're not going to have to reach out constantly. We're going to be in constant fellowship with the Lord. And remember that as you're going through storms. That's the key. Look to the Lord in prayer and dive into His Word. Build yourself a strong foundation for dealing with it.